Welcome back to the Pop Punk Emo Supremo podcast. Roper, who do we have on this podcast?
Me.
Just Roper.
And you.
Oh, it's, and me. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
We had our first, like, somewhat solo episode last week.
I know.
Listen. That's a good interview. Don't sleep on that
okay,
one.
Okay, I need to listen to it still because...
Roper hasn't even listened to
my
it.
My life has been hell.
Roper's life is a solid D-minus right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to lift it up with this episode.
But you know what? There's always room for improvement. And tomorrow is going to be an improvement of today, hopefully.
I don't know. Bad things come in threes is what I hear.
I don't know. Let's hope I get my raise or else I'm going to fucking go postal.
Oh, okay.
At least it's Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to be?
I don't know. I was going to do like Avril Lavigne and Skater Boy.
Oh, yeah. Because
I have a skateboard.
There you go.
But yeah. Oh, well.
I'm going to be a wizard.
Harry Potter?
Nah.
Hagrid?
Like Gandalf.
No. More of a Harry Potter
The laziest version of that. Just a bathrobe and a wizard hat.
Dude, you should do it. You should do like drunk, the drunk rich version or whatever. Just, but like it has to be an actual bathrobe, but when you steal from a hotel.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Need to go steal from hotels.
Well, I know one.
Oh, okay.
I know multiple.
Ooh.
Anyway.
That have bathrobes?
They do.
Okay.
I don't remember. I was too drunk.
All right.
Point being, we have an episode that's talking about a band that no one fucking talks about anymore.
No.
It's Sugar Cult.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Sugar Cult?
Who?
Exactly. You will, after listening to some of the songs. So all 30 of you that clicked in to listen to this video, because it is not top five.
Yep.
But we're excited about this one because I think Roper and I discovered a lot of music by these guys
yeah.
that we were not super aware of.
Yeah.
Before we jump in, I want to mention that we are not going to be talking about some of the demos that are like impossible to find. There's a few on YouTube. Listen to them. Very what you would expect of earlier music from this band. And even some of the songs that come up later in their discography.
Yeah.
So listen to a few of them. It was interesting. It was cool. But nothing to write home about. So, Roper, should we just jump into it?
Yeah.
All right, jumping into the history of Sugar Cult, let's talk about their members.
Yeah.
We got Tim Pagnotta, lead vocals, rhythm guitar from 1998 to present, which also, fun fact, I've seen a lot of things that say they've started sooner than 1998.
Okay.
So I cannot find a definitive like date that
I saw 1998 as well in my research.
I saw 98 and I feel like I saw 96 as well.
Mm.
So hard to know. Aaron?
Aaron?
Aaron? Oh, fuck you. Aaron Older. It's spelled A-I-R-I-N. I've just never seen it spelled that way. Aaron Older with bass, guitar, backing vocals from 1998 to present. Marco DeSantis, lead guitar from 1999 and present, joined a little later.
Ooh.
And Kenny Livingston, drums from 2003 to present. There was also a previous member, Ben Davis, that played drums and some backing vocals from 1998 to 2003, and at one point eventually jumped back in at 2011 to probably play a few live shows.
Yeah.
So, if you guys don't know, they have not released a single or record since 2006.
Yep.
Which is kind of interesting that we're talking about them today, but they did have a huge impact on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. So... Who are these guys? Who's Sugar Cult?
Who them?
Okay. Jesus Christ.
You sound like me over there.
I know. Ugh. Formed in Santa Barbara, California in 1988, supposedly, Sugar Cult, whose original lineup consisted of Tim, Aaron, Marco, and Ben, made their mark as one of the most dynamic and entertaining pop-punk bands to come out of the 2000s. After independently releasing two demos and two EPs, the quartet caught the ears of Ultimatum Music, who signed Sugar Cult and connected them with producer Matt Wallace, who did Maroon 5, Faith No More, The Replacements. And that was to work on their debut full-length LP, Start Static.
Yeah.
Which, from my understanding, is their most popular release.
I believe it's kind of
interesting, because usually I feel like the first album isn't generally the most popular.
Yeah, and this one has most of their, like...
Their bigger hits.
Bigger hits on it, besides second album, but we'll get into that later.
Absolutely. So now we're talking about Start Static. Standout song for me, because Roper stole mine, is Bouncing Off the Walls. I'm bouncing.
bouncing off the walls again. Whoa, I'm looking like a fool again. Whoa, I threw away my reputation. One more song for the radio station. I'm bouncing off the walls again. And I'm looking like a fool again. And I'm bouncing off the walls again. And I'm looking like a fool again. I'm bouncing off the walls again.
How can you not like that song?
It's such a good song. It's so just good. Fun. It's catchy. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but yeah. Some other standout tracks, Stuck in America, which is my favorite song by them, Lost in You, and Pretty Girl, which is funny because I used to not like Pretty Girl back in the day that much, and I listened to it again today, and I was like, oh, this is good.
I listened to it, yeah.
I don't know if it's nostalgia or what, which is, I feel like a lot of this band, like if you've listened to a lot of their songs from the past and you listen to them today, they're going to have a lot of nostalgic vibes to them, but listening to these albums, I didn't really have that nostalgic kick for like 95% of the songs. So I was like, whoa, what is going on? This is crazy. But anyway, overall thoughts on this. I don't know. I thought it was well put together. There were like for sure some songs that stood out more than others. I think the early 2000s vibe of pop punk, like this hits the spot for that.
Oh, yeah.
And all the production sounded great, and I'm glad I didn't listen to the same two songs.
Yeah.
Because that was all I listened to from this record.
Yeah.
What do you think? What's your standout?
Stuck in America.
Boom!
Stuck in America. Stuck in America. Mom's in America. Stuck in America.
I don't know. That song is so nostalgic to me.
I think it's their best song.
I can't remember like what movie it was on, but I just remember jamming to it as a kid.
Yeah. There's actually a few of these songs I've remembered from movies.
Yeah.
Easy. So.
Other standout tracks was Bouncing Off the Walls, of course. And then Pretty Girl's Good. And then Lost in You.
Lost in You.
Pretty much the same consensus of songs.
The exact same list, yeah.
Just different order. Overall thoughts. Dude, when I listened to this the other day, I was like, man, this album's fun as fuck.
You got
like,
the nostalgia back.
Because I was never super into them when I first started listening to pop punk, but I just like knew like the classics, like Memory, Bouncing Off the Walls, and like Stuck in America. But actually going through this record, you like have a really good time with it. Not a lot of the, like, I think it's just because a lot of the songs like sound upbeat and similar, but it still gives off a like, okay, that was fun. I was not expecting to enjoy it that much. Sometimes I go back to albums like this and I'm like, all right, am I only going to like one or two songs? But this one was like a fun listen to all the way. And then I'm pretty sure this is their best record.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's actually funny because we're going to have a lot of opposite opinions.
Yeah?
We will. But yeah, no, I think this is by far like the Sugar Cult record that everyone knows them for. Do you think their number one song is Memory?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's their best song, maybe.
You think it's their best song?
Yeah. If you were to ask anybody.
They might say that,
off the street, yeah.
They'd be like, who's Sugar Cult?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the Sugar Cult. Sugar Cult's my favorite.
My favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a I think this band's so interesting just because it's like one of those forgotten bands.
Yeah, and they're all like touring musicians before, and then they all kind of got thrown together.
I thought
they were like
two of the members met each other, like in a study hall or something regarding school.
Maybe.
This is the story I heard, and then I don't know where the other two came from.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's cool. It's interesting. I like to see it. And then like what happened like to the band, which I'll talk a little bit out towards the end.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting as well. So, we got an interview.
Yeah.
Interview with Kraft Recordings about Start Static's 20th anniversary featuring Mark DeSantis, which that dropped not that long ago.
Yeah.
2001, 2021?
Yep.
No, that was 20 years.
Yeah.
That was 20. Duh.
Come on.
I'm sorry. they said, in the lighter notes, guitarist Marco DeSantis recalls the Start Static was our confrontation and our handshake with the world, our chance to get people to pay attention, earn their respects, and then hopefully win their hearts. The album title fits the narrative of the songs, which are mostly vignettes of young adult anxiety over the trials of messy romance and post-adolescent dissatisfaction and uncertainty. Start Static was our album title and our mission statement, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
DeSantis continues with, the album was a shared catalyst that changed our lives, launched our music careers, carried us all over the world, and created so many amazing adventures. I hope that people can drop the needle on this special 20th anniversary edition of Start SAG today, and it's still going to sound immediate, relevant, and vital, while also evoking good memories past and inspired new memories to come. This album exceeds our wildest dreams and expectations and continues to do so even after all these years. So that was from last year.
Yeah.
Which is cool because they're still talking about this record.
Yeah. You really can't find much interview-wise about this of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice to find that little snippet 20 years later, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. And just the fact, like, they have, like, a different perspective now that it's been out for so long.
Looking back on it.
It was definitely one of those records that launched a band's career.
Oh, yeah.
And they did a hell of a job with it. So, you have any other things to say about Start SAG?
It's a fun record. Go listen to it if you like early 2000s pop punk.
Do you think... I think they were kind of revolutionary for the time, but, like, where we are now, I've kind of thought that they don't really do anything, like, crazy different or special.
Yeah.
We have all these melds of, like, genres now.
Yeah.
That this is just, like, strict pop punk.
They're definitely, like, a stepping stone
mm-hmm.
in the bridge that is pop punk now.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's, like, nice radio pop punk back in the 2000s. Blink-182 would love it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, we should talk about that sometime, too. next record. What is it, Roper?
It is Palm Trees and Power Lines.
Ooh. My standout song was Worst December. The standout track I had was Memory, obviously.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to talk about that one. Overall thoughts, honestly, this record didn't stand out to me too much.
Yeah.
It felt like very safe. I think it goes back to me saying, like, they weren't doing a ton of stuff back in the day, and this record didn't come out too much longer after the first.
Yeah.
So it felt like a very much like a part two. There were a few tracks, but I can't say I had a ton I related with or felt a certain way about. So I was pretty meh on this.
Yeah.
To be fair. What do you think?
Nah, my standout track. Definitely Memory. It's such a good song, dude. Like, I feel like everybody should know it.
Mm-hmm.
Other standout tracks, Champagne and She's the Blade. She's the Blade
was good.
Was almost like my first pick.
Was it?
For this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off the album perfect. I think overall this album is a part two to Start Static. Like you said, they played it safe, but at the same time, it's still a fun album to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
There's not too much that really stands out to me in 2022. But I can see where everybody gets their, like, influence from this band, you know?
Yeah. The last song on this record, Sign Off,
yeah.
I had to, like, remember what it was.
Yeah.
Was so cheesy to me.
I don't...
Do you remember it?
I think so. I listened to it on Saturday, so...
I was just like, oh, that was so weird to me. I don't know.
It's very of its time. All of these records are very of their time.
Well, like, and they all came out within a matter of 5 years.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of crazy. Like, if they kept making records like they did back then, they'd be at like 10 records by now.
Absolutely.
If not more.
I think a lot of them do producer work now.
They do.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
All right.
Okay. So from pennyblackmusic.co.uk with lead singer Tim Pagnotta, they ask, so where are you headed with your next record? Talking about Palm Trees and Power Lines, of course. Of course, Tim says, I've already written about 16 new songs. I want to change the style a little bit and get better at writing. There are some things I like and some things I don't. I think I definitely want to expand on the moodier songs and I want to scream a bit more. I think I sang in the lower register a little too much on Static. I just want to rock.
Is that such a bad thing?
Oh, I just want to rock, comma. Is that such a bad thing?
I don't know. I think he kind of hit the nail on the head, maybe. I don't know if they really expanded too much on
I think it
style.
Sounds very much the same, but I think he was trying to push himself as a vocalist.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm. And I think he, I don't know, like, I'm just so used to hearing the first record, so when I put it up next to this, it, I don't know, they sound almost identical to me,
yeah.
But maybe, like, if you were there during the recording process, you could see, like, the different techniques and what he was doing, so, you know, maybe some people have a higher opinion, or a stronger opinion on that than others, but we will be the latter. Livewire then says, what sort of change do you see from Static, or Start Static to Palm Trees? He says, I think that lyrically this record is a lot more vulnerable, intimate, and sincere. Smiles. And takes more risks. I don't think that the record is apologetic. We didn't start screaming on this record because that's the in thing to do these days. I don't think we made a punk record or a pop punk record either. I think that we made a record that is very indicative of a band that is very confident and is really only trying to make music that we find as we like, that is rewarding to us. Woof, what a run-on sentence.
Very.
And that is all that really matters to us. Regardless if the show sells 100 tickets or 1,000 tickets, it's about having fun and feeling proud of what you built and what you have created. I think that we may have made a record that is a huge growth from Start Static, and a lot of people listen that have listened to this record have thought that we're probably going to have a little bit more older fan base, and that can be pretty cool. We'll see. I have no idea how this record is going to react with people. Hopefully they like it. I like the artwork. Smiles. I also like the artwork.
Yeah, it's very cool.
You know, do you think this would, like, be more for an older audience?
Like back then?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Or like even now.
Now, yeah, because...
Sure.
Nostalgia and stuff. But, like, I don't know. I don't feel like it was aimed towards a younger audience.
Yeah, it felt very neutral ground to me. Yeah. Like, I don't feel like it was also aimed for an older audience either.
Yeah.
I think it was probably... I mean, pop punk, especially back in the day, was meant more for kids, I think.
Yeah.
And then now it's kind of growing into something different.
Meant
but,
for, like, teenagers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So now, yeah, I don't know. I'm curious as to, like, how he would react to this now.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. Because I don't think this was near as... the record itself, at least, was near as popular as Start Static was. But
yeah.
I do think you're right when you said Memory is their most popular song.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Anything else on this guy?
No.
Okay. Wow, this is going really fast.
I know. Three albums.
Got a lot to say. Albums.
Well, this next interview section is going to be a mouthful. So.
I know. I've already read through it.
I know.
The next record is Lights Out. My standout song is Do It Alone. Love Do It Alone.
You do?
And it's a fucking song in a movie that I cannot remember.
Oh, man.
I want to say it's Employee of the Month. Actually, I'm right. It is All Employee right. of the Month because I remember exactly where it starts playing. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
It is one of the only movies that stars a famous 2000s comedian that I can't remember his name.
Oh, Dane Cook.
Dane Cook. Boom! Yeah. Yes. And Dane Cook has just disappeared like Sugar Cult. Maybe... They're linked.
Dane Cook's brother stole a bunch of money from him.
Oh, I watched the podcast.
You watched the podcast. You almost feel bad for the guy, and then you remember all of 2008 where he went, shut the fuck up.
That is the meanest quote that you've said on
this
show.
I just cannot stand him.
That is so funny. I used to think he was hilarious, but I was also like 10.
You're also
so.
A kid.
Yeah.
I was in high school, and like nothing is funny.
It's like if I just keep talking and get louder as I talk,
louder,
it'll be funny.
Fast expressions.
Do a Dane Cook stand-up thing right now. You gotta type 1 minute.
I have no clue where I would even start.
Go for it right
now. My brother stole money from me from the bank and I'm out of it. That's all, folks.
Scene, baby. That's all he needs to make his money back. Okay, that was fun. Other standout tracks, Dead Living, Los Angeles, Shaking was really good. Overall thoughts, I think overall this record has the best track list
really?
And solid songs. Yeah. This very much fits the time of the 2000s and a bit of a time capsule. I wonder what they'd sound like today.
Yeah,
I think overall, like for me, the songs just flowed better. I think they were better written and like had more intricate guitar parts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That really kind of stood out to me a little bit more. So yeah, I think overall this was my favorite record by them.
Yeah.
So what was your thoughts and opinions?
Ooh, my favorite track off of this is The Investigation. If I could be a part of your world, leave this all behind. nice little slow jam. Some other standout tracks, Hiatus and Majoring in Minors. That song is a fucking bop, too.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's like, overall thoughts, I think it's very of its time, like 2006, like you can tell, like,
mm-hmm.
where they're... It sounds a little bit darker and almost more like radio play-ish.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, honestly, not too great of an album, but I listened to a little bit more on the way over here. And I kind of take that back. It's actually really, like you said, really well put together.
Yeah. I can tell you what you meant when it was like, you were about to say it's a little bit darker.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I was listening to it. I was like, yeah, it is a bit darker.
It's different than the first two. And I think it's kind of a nice change of pace.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, like I'm super curious as to like what direction they were going to continue with.
I wasn't really into the front half of this record as much as the back half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The back half kind of hit me differently.
Yeah, for sure.
But
yeah, well, especially like because I feel like Shaking was supposed to be the last song on the record.
Yeah,
and then the Investigation, Hiatus, which is ironic that the last song on their last album. Is
I know,
Hiatus.
Right?
But anyway, yeah, the Investigation, Hiatus, like they were just kind of like. There. I just don't feel like they were put in the right spot.
Yeah, I feel like they just wrote those in studio and they're like, okay, we have nowhere else to put them. But like,
on the record.
Hiatus is kind of fitting now.
Yeah, no, it's makes sense at least.
I don't know. I think everybody should at least check out this record once if you're a Sugar Cult fan.
Yeah, I feel like you should see what else Sugar Cult had to offer for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised, especially now with like the rise of pop punk music.
Yeah.
If we wouldn't see them come back.
How many bands of that time do you think are going to make a comeback? There's already bands that are still fucking active.
Blink's back. You got Mike Chem,
yeah. I'm kind of in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Michelle Branch.
I'm trying to think of like some other big ones. I mean, most of those people have already moved on to different projects and stuff.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, like, we'll just talk about, I know a lot of the members are doing production and stuff like that, especially Tim. He actually wrote our favorite song, Roper, Shut Up and Dance With Me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I remember his name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
Shut Up.
I hated that song when it came out, but goddamn,
nice, it's good.
Nice little bop. Yep.
Not too bad. All right. The daunting thing I've.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a long one.
All right. Get some popcorn, everyone. From Marco DeSantis' Instagram post in 2016 about the 10-year anniversary of Lights Out and the hiatus of the band. This week marks the 10-year anniversary of our third record, Lights Out, which was bookended by what history has revealed to be prophetically titled cuts. It was our proverbial one that got away, probably our darkest and heaviest record. Lights Out was essentially a two-part dissertation on self-medicating through one-night stands and loveless sex, plus frustration with the music industry. After years of gradually working our way up from the back alleys and side streets to the main drags and fast lanes of rock and roll, the stars were aligning for this record to be our grand arrival. Our record company has been absorbed by V2 Records, a fantastic label originally founded by Virgin Rec/Airs, etc. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Impressiro, Richard Branson, and the run by a select cast of street smart sweethearts with impressive record collections and enough savvy to snag future heavyweights like the White Stripes, Moby Phoenix, etc. After bumping our heads on glass ceilings with our first two records, we were thrilled to have found an equally graceful yet more powerful engine, or so we thought. The first single of a four-single plan, Do It Alone, was released to radio and MTV. We shot two expensive videos for it on the label's dime since they wanted to get it just right. The record came out packaged in a beautifully designed matte finish gratefold case. We embarked on our headlining tour and all was well. They signed a slew of great bands from our touring community like Alkaline Trio, Stray Light Run, Blood Brothers, The Adored, etc. Our next single, Los Angeles, readied for an early New Year's launch, and then V2 calls and emails slowed down. The jovial voices of their staff was EQ'd to hushed tones and awkward silences. We received the official communication that the label was being shut down effective immediately. Oh my god. All employees were terminated and all bands basically fucked. To paraphrase John Lennon, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Wow.
Ooh.
That is crazy. I don't really mean that. While we were surprised and disappointed, we knew things like this can be par for the course in the music biz, and since we had built a strong foundation on our own, we would be fine and figured our record would eventually land on its feet and find new loving homes. By now, they owed us and many other bands small fortunes and unpaid royalties. We lawyered up and got in line. They gave us the runaround and pushed the limits of every deadline and grace period while we sat around trying to make ourselves as unattracted to them as possible in hopes that they would relent and cut us and our record loose. We turned down tour offers, stopped doing press, and basically went into a holding pattern until we finally cajoled them to let us out of our future obligations and settled for pennies on the dollars. By now, the record cycle had lost all momentum and we were exhausted and heartbroken. We resumed playing shows and touring, but no outside support. There was only so much we could do. We all began settling into domestic lifestyles and strayed into our own individual project. Aaron focused on him and his friend's side project record that eventually manifested as Edward Sharp and the Magnet Zeros.
That's awesome.
That is pretty fucking cool name. Tim began co-writing slash producing for other artists and scored a huge hit with his first try, Neon Trees Animal. Okay. Ooh. Kenny started on an Americana group, Good Man Down, with his pals from Lefty and Lit, and started Kenny Dolt, a charity foundation where he raised health awareness by riding his beach cruiser bicycle across America. I drove into family life, DJing, lecturing slash artist coaching, and some touring of my side bands, The Plane Favorites and The Bad Astronaut. So, wow.
This is where they're at.
There was a that was a lot of information dumped on us. Crazy what record labels can get away with.
No kidding.
Honestly, especially in like nowadays, like you don't really need a record label.
No.
Just do everything on your own. Like it's kind of cool. And if you could find one that you really trust and has a good reputation behind them, I'd say go for it. But
distribution wise, it wouldn't hurt. But
like you can still do that on your own.
Oh yeah. Now like, everything is online.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's just nice when like the record label is willing to like give you money to do music videos and to help with distribution and have people like in the marketing department like constantly working on like that stuff's awesome and it's great to have but it is amazing what people like, and I don't even think a lot of record labels really want to do that anymore because they'll be like, go make a few TikTok videos and see how you do.
Yeah, you'll honestly gain more fans through social media than music videos.
Well, I was watching this one guy's TikTok video where he was talking about how he released a really big song on TikTok and it blew up, and then the record labels were all about it and talking to him and like trying to get him to go on. And then he released another one that wasn't quite as big, and then they all hushed up.
Aww.
And then they released another one, and they were all right back in his corner again. So it was ridiculous. Dumb. So it's just kind of crazy to see what, especially how TikTok has like hit the record labels. Dude.
Yeah, I think that is probably the most essential tool that you could use now.
Mm-hmm. And I hate it.
Yeah.
Well, I like TikTok. I hate the idea of putting stuff on there. I don't know. But people do it all the time.
They do.
And they do great. So, you know, clearly they know what they're doing.
Yep.
But final thoughts when it comes to this lovely band. Honestly, I was kind of expecting to find some more jams that I skipped out on. But I found a few more I liked, but nothing more that like I absolutely fell in love with.
Yeah.
I think this is the most important thing I'll say. I think they were a band that was meant to make solid singles for rock radio in a world where record sales were still very, very important.
Dude. That I think you hit it spot on with that.
Yeah, because I was like, man, just like they have such great songs per record, but I feel like they like the rest of the record was kind of like okay,
yeah,
at best, you know. So Stuck in America, Bouncing Off the Walls Again in Memory are some like memorable songs that are probably still in the heads of like many pop punk fans. But I wish I could say I'd go back to more than just those few songs.
Yeah,
but I don't really think I will. I think those three and maybe a few others. I did actually really like the last record a lot more than I thought I would. So
yeah,
maybe like it's kind of like how records just have to grow on you nowadays. So,
yeah,
or at least for me. So Roper, what do you think?
Yeah, final thoughts. I think like this band is good. They were solid. Just not, I don't know. I think they just missed the mark on me multiple times. Like I do enjoy like Memory and like the classic songs. Like Stuck in America is always going to be a bop of mine. But like everything else is kind of like part two-ish.
Yeah.
So their last record, I feel like as it is the most slept on, like I feel like it might be some of their best work. Mm-hmm. To be honest, going back and listening to it more today, they just had so many like well put together songs on it.
Yeah, they did.
And it's a little bit different of a taste than the first two records.
Yeah.
If you're in a Sugar Cult mood, I would recommend going back and just like listening to all three records and seeing what you like for
yourself.
It
doesn't take a long time.
No, it doesn't.
Like an hour and a half of your day.
This episode probably took a little bit less than that, but you know.
I don't know. Other things to talk about just in the Sugar Cult.
I think they're a good band. I see where the interest comes from, but they're not going to be one of my favorites. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I do enjoy them.
The fact that Tim's like written a lot of like really good pop songs,
it's insane. And then that guy's in Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros.
I've never heard that band, but I like the name.
There's one song where it's very like early 2010s like indie music. So, what's the song? There's like a girl and a guy singing in it, and she's like, cotton candy, apple pie, do-ba-do-ba-do, let me go home, let me go home.
Every time you sing a song, I don't recognize it, but if I play it, I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
course.
Exactly.
You
know? I do terrible at explaining things.
I kind of like it, though.
Yeah.
Sing our theme song right now.
Pop punk.
Actually, he literally
emo,
did sing it.
Supremo podcast.
Anything else, Roper?
Anything else? No.
No?
No.
Easy peasy. Well, Sugar Cult, I don't want to say it was disappointing, but I want to say I was just hoping for a little
just
bit more.
Expecting a little bit more.
Yeah, I was hoping for like another like rare like song that I was like, wow, why was this song not like in my repertoire back in the day?
But a lot of them are like very similar. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so either way, I enjoyed this. It was nice going back up to a band that like I've always known about, but I didn't know too much about.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot.
Okay, so I asked all of you guys... not all of you responded, but that's okay. What's your favorite Sugar Cult song? Some dude said Memory.
Of course.
It's Just Kemp said Bouncing Off the Walls Again! Exclamation point. E. Laney D. said Nostalgia. Pretty Girl. Memory. The Investigation. Empty Space Podcast said Memory.
Memory.
And then Shy Guy Brad said Probably Pretty Girl.
Wow, no Stuck in America.
No.
How dare you, people?
They're just missing the mark.
How dare you, people? I don't know. I just think that is by far their best song.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like a lot of the other ones that were said. So, all right. Cool beans. Thanks for guys for commenting.
Yeah.
We need every single one of you to participate in the next question.
Everyone who listens.
Everyone.
No, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I want like the majority of the podcast to be going through these.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that, Roper will be fired.
Don't take this away from me. It's all I got.
I told you, comes in threes.
Yeah.
Are any of you listeners in a small and up-and-coming band? If that's the case, we would love to hear from you. If you want to be a part of the show, we have a nifty Google form you can fill out to give us all the info we need to get your song submitted. You can find a link to the form in our link tree on any and all of our social medias now. Roper!
Mm-hmm.
This week we got LG Paggy, I'm assuming that's how you say it, with their song, oh, Jesus Christ, Burr Hentai Sejanek. I hope that's right.
I have no clue.
We're going to find out. A pop punk band from, this makes sense, something Indonesia, Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta. Yeah, I like that. Sounds about right. Indonesia, which was formed in September of 2021, which is like not even a year, well, just over a year ago.
Hot new band.
Started by accident with the same hobby as the pop punk music genre. The band consists of Yudhi on guitars and vocals, Adit on drums, and Dika on guitar, and additional personal Gusta on bass. So what's the story behind the song? A song that tells about how we are tired and tired of dealing with life and love problems, and indeed we have to stop for a moment with all the existing routines and then rise again with a fresher state.
Hell yeah.
Very well put. Are we ready for LG Paggy?
Yeah, let's kick it!
Pikiran. kadang memang tak sejalan. Masalah cinta dan kehidupan yang buatku berantakan. Memang tak bisa dipungkiri, semuanya akan terjadi. Situasi yang pelik membutuhkan pematik, tapi ku tak bisa berkelip. Ku mulai letih dan semakin tertatih, coba ku tuang dalam sajak, dan aku ingin berhenti sejenak dengan semua problema yang bisa dipungkiri, semuanya akan terjadi. Situasi yang pelik membutuhkan pematik, tapi ku tak bisa berkelip. Ku mulai letih dan semakin tertatih, coba ku tuang dalam saja, dan aku ingin berhenti sejenak dengan semua problema yang mendera. Ku mulai letih dan semakin tertatih, coba ku tuang dalam saja, dan aku ingin berhenti sejenak.
Yeah.
What do you think of Elgi Poggi?
Very interesting.
Very anime theme song, as yes. you said. And we were all about it.
Yep.
But it does show that music is a universal language.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool to have some bands that aren't native English speakers.
Yeah.
They filled out the form pretty well, so props to them.
Very good job.
And honestly, if you're looking just for something a little bit unique, maybe you don't really care about lyrics, or maybe you're Indonesian and know exactly what they're saying.
There we go.
Either way.
There's some very nice guitar work on this.
There is a beautiful guitar work on here. So great job, guys. You guys are brand new, so keep it up. And we're looking forward to not understanding your next song.
Yeah. As a reminder, you can find our link tree on any and all of our social media. Our username is PPES Podcast everywhere.
Everywhere.
That's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That's Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And more.
Roper did delete his Facebook though, so now.
Just the app. please drop us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to help our show grow. Every single song you heard on today's episode will be on a Spotify playlist. You can also find a playlist of our up-and-coming bands from each season, as well as our pop, punk, emo, supremo picks that I curate whenever I want to. don't forget to check out our new show, Pop, Punk, Emo, Supremo News, for all your whenever new releases, tour announcements, and more.
Mm-hmm. First new one's coming back this month. We're doing it.
It's coming back, man.
It's coming back.
We'll make it happen.
Roper, what's your hot take?
Man, got a pretty salty one, but I'm not going to say it.
Oh, make it less salty for the kitties.
For the kitties?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Ooh, that is a solid take. Can I expand on this? Unless she's really hot. No.
I'm trying to be nice.
I feel you. I feel you. Yep. My hot take is see things through, you know?
Yeah.
Don't just like instantly give up on something because it gets difficult.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's a little controversial. Or not controversial.
Conflicting.
Conflicting with yours, but I think both of them ring very true.
Yeah.
So you just got to think things through. And then also you got to make sure that you're doing what's best for you.
Exactly.
Out in the world.
Make sure that you're okay first. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If it sounds selfish, it's really not.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be.
Could be. Depending.
Anything more persistent than just saying the opposite.